Isn't this a sports show?
You just want to see my underwear right now?
No.
I'm now intrigued.
I got some Deadpool undies. Look at my butt, you guys.
Almost entirely.
I was just reminding the audience, we don't know anything, so we're talking about Pokemon.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, we're doing this show live from the bottom of a swimming pool. And, the chlorine levels are perfect.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry, it's 2019. I don't Netflix and chill. I listen to AES and drink Hennessy.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810.
Every time Beards plays one of the intros, it doesn't end with the big voice guy saying WHB at the end of Sports Radio 810 WHB. I commit a false start penalty. I'm just kind of waiting and hanging on it. And is he gonna? Oh, he didn't say it. Oh, I gotta talk now. Fair enough. That makes sense, I suppose. But it's always just a little curveball, which proves, for one more reason, that I do not have what it takes to be a major league hitter. Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. Rudy Salazar here in the studio on the other side of this pandemic pane of glass. It's been here for a while, and sometimes I still forget that it's there, or I forget that it isn't a normal thing to have just extra plexiglass in a studio. But that's February 2021. February 2021 is just sort of a series of, is this weird or was this normal the whole time? I can't remember anymore. Just sort of where we're at this point. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things in a whole bunch of different arenas tonight. We'll talk to David Leske of Inside the Crown. He launched a newsletter through Substack, much like our friend Seth Kaiser. I think the day after the Andrew Benintendi trade when he was on with us, and I didn't even know that was in the works. But we'll talk to Leske at 9 tonight about a whole bunch of things that he's written about so far at this point in the offseason with the Royals. Preseason, really. Pitchers and catchers season. And everything he's written there has been excellent. I'm really excited to talk about some of those things. He's done an excellent job at finding some unique things to take a look at and zooming in on them in a way that's a genuinely fun, enticing read. So we'll talk to Leske at 9, and then we'll catch up with our friend Scott Chasen of Fog.net, 24/7 Sports, at 8 about some KU basketball things, where we're at right now. It's been a little bit since we've done a check-in with Scott or done much in terms of checking in on the college basketball realm. We talked a couple nights ago about how it does feel sort of preordained at this point that KU will hit its stride right as Mizzou is fizzling out, and then even in this year that has been about Mizzou's successes and KU's failures in this region, KU will be the team that has more postseason success. That still feels like that's probably on the way, but we'll talk to Scott about that. I'll pitch that theory to him, and we'll see how he's feeling about where KU stands right now. But the news of the day, mercifully for me, comes from the NFL side of things, and
you don't want to talk about NBA All-Star selections for the starters?
No, I don't. No, not at all. It's not even in the notes.
All you need to know is Jokic is a starter. And that's all. We can move on. That's all that matters.
I mean, we really are going to run the gamut.
I have nothing else to say.
I don't even know who's on. I know Lillard didn't make it, and I don't care, Beards. Here's the problem with once the show starts.
I know one person, and it's Jokic, and that's all that matters. The rest don't matter.
Something that I realized I could do just before tonight's show, I don't remember what it was, but Rudy and I are in the studio, and so the Beards has a button where he can talk directly to us, but it doesn't go over the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what it was that he was talking about, but it was
NBA All-Star.
Probably, I think it was NBA All-Star game related. And I just unplugged my headphones and just waved the adapter end in Beards' face so he knew that I did not care about the thing that he was going to try to make me care about. The problem is, if I do that now, which I have done, visual joke and an audio medium, we got it out of the way early tonight.
Got it done.
If I do it now, which I've done, it doesn't prevent you, the listener, from hearing Beards.
Mm-hmm.
It just prevents me from hearing Beards, but it's going to result in a bad audio product regardless.
So just leave it unplugged.
Which I guess bad audio product regardless, sort of predetermined, I guess, in terms of this show. It's just what kind of bad product will we present you?
Probably a better bad, honestly.
I don't think, I will say this, this may be controversial, this may be really me really patting myself on the back too much. I do not think that me unplugging my headphones would make the show better.
I don't think it would make it worse.
Like, we already have enough crosstalk among the three of us, something that we have to kind of every once in a while hit a little reset button on and try to keep it front of mind. In fact, I think so far today we've been okay except for Beards' interruption about the thing I don't care about. But I might get a little sticky note and just put it on one of the mascots in here or whatever that just says, like, we all get one. It just says, like, wait your turn. Maybe Beards gets 5 or 6 just on the glass. It says, wait your turn, and then also, I don't want to talk about the NBA All-Star voting.
What the hell? Where's Jaylen Brown?
I've never heard of him.
I mean, what are we doing? Where's Jaylen Brown? It's just, I could not dig deeper inside of my own soul to find a way for me to care less about if Jaylen Brown is an All-Star.
What are things that I care less about than Jaylen Brown, whether or not Jaylen Brown's an All-Star?
If Devin Booker's an All-Star?
No, because I like Devin Booker. Like, he's a Kentucky guy. Like, I want as many Kentucky guys to, like, be All-Stars and have success as possible.
I don't even know if Booker is an All-Star this year.
An All-Star. I would assume so, but I don't know.
Tonight, that's all.
Okay. Well, I really don't care if Jaylen Brown is an All-Star starter.
So your argument is that Jaylen Brown's gonna probably be in the All-Star game, Beards. Like, who cares if he's a starter or not? Like, oh goodness. I assumed all the rosters were announced tonight, and he got like, and this was like some snub thing. Like, this was like some, it's not the same, but it'd be like just how saying it. I feel like we've said it every year for 5 years. Why is Mitchell Schwartz not a Pro Bowler? Like, does the Pro Bowl really matter? No, but it's like, you know, you want your guy to be in. But like the full rosters aren't even announced.
Who is he better than that would should get him on the roster, Beards?
Who is the Eastern starters? Just get like, I need all five Eastern starters.
Now he's winning. Beards is winning because now we're talking.
You asked
about
the question, so now I need all five starters.
East is Kyrie, Bradley Beal, and then Embiid, Durant, Giannis.
You named 4 players.
No, I named 5.
Kyrie, Beal, Embiid, Giannis,
Durant.
Oh, Durant. Okay, Durant was like, I didn't hear the Durant part. Gotcha.
Boy, my Jimmies are rustled. No, I care about that a great deal. I think that's going to have waves throughout all sports for the rest of time. Jaylen Brown, please. Just total nonsense.
Where's Tim Duncan?
Does he still have the significantly younger look than he had while he was a player going for him?
Even though he has gray hair while doing the significantly younger look?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think he's coaching. I don't think he's on the Spurs bench anymore.
He's not. I heard, so this goes to that Robert Worry. I heard a podcast with him. Basically, he made the joke that Tim Duncan, because basically that he was asked about Tim Duncan's clothing. And he was like, you know, a lot of players, they blow their money away. You know, Tim Duncan still got all of his money because that man never bought new clothes or jewelry.
Never.
He's like, I'm pretty sure the reason why he stopped coaching this year is because that one black jacket that he had that he wore for the game, it ripped.
Yeah.
And now he just doesn't have the clothes to even wear on an NBA bench anymore.
It was a weird...
Well, that was a good joke, Robert Horry.
A weird aesthetic turn for Tim Duncan. I support it. It was just very odd.
Another little tidbit that's random, but I also think it's funny.
I can't believe the first 12 minutes of this show are going to be about the NBA All-Star Game and Robert Horry's podcast.
So it's not his podcast. He was just
whatever.
On. But yeah.
I Jaylen Brown All-Star Game that, Rudy. Yeah, I couldn't possibly care less.
This is something I feel like it's... So his background on his Zoom is there's 7 photos. And it's 7 photos of him in a significant moment in the 7 NBA finals he won.
Excellent.
And they were like, oh, that's a pretty big, that's a big power move. And he's like, it is. The problem is I put it up there the first time as a joke because I was doing it with some friends, and I have no idea how to take it down. I was like, that's pretty good. I don't know if it's true because if you knew how to put it up, now maybe somebody else put it up for him. But he's like, hey, so he's like, this has just been my Zoom background for every meeting I've had all since Zoom started.
If you had, it's seven, right?
Seven, yeah.
If you had seven NBA Finals moments, the only thing that I would do differently, I think, is I would have each of them on a rotation.
Just rotating.
Or just every
through.
30 yeah. seconds, it clicks to another one just to remind you of all of these times that I've been excellent mm-hmm. and the biggest stage in my sport. That's what I would do, personally.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Can't believe we let him win. So mad at you, Beards. We spent 10 minutes here, but I still don't give a bleep about the All-Star Game starters, and I certainly don't give a bleep about Jaylen Brown's spot on them.
Also, I know they're still having it for now. There's a 50% chance it never
Definitely.
Even happens.
A 50% chance feels about right. Are they trying to do the dunk contest at halftime?
They talked
they're
about
doing
it, yeah.
Dunk contest at halftime and then skills challenge and three-point shooting before the game.
I don't care about the skills challenge.
I'll tell you what. I care about that more than I care about who's starting on it in the All-Star game, because at least I can sit down and watch it all in one sitting like that. I kind of like that.
I saw a thing that was basically just like Aaron Gordon and I think it was Zach LaVine should yeah. just basically tell the NBA like $30 million. Like they should be like you obviously want us to entertain your halftime show.
Yeah.
We'll do it $30 million.
We want a cut like we're boxers yes. here. Yeah. No, that's good.
Like,
and we'll
want
just go
some,
10 rounds.
We want some prize money.
Yeah. Rudy, are you okay? Because you keep doing the
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm highlighting
you,
things.
So Rudy's in the Google Doc just highlighting snippets of my Carson Wentz, like, sort of trade notes
and there's
and
no reason behind it. I'm not reading it. I'm just...
No, well, the reason that I phrased it the way that I did is because you did say before the show that you're on your third energy drink of the day, and you've been here since probably 5:30-ish.
Yeah. I was a little late today. I got in at 5:40.
Wow. Really slacking.
Yeah, a little slow.
Rudy's been running the Border Patrol since the beginning of the month mm-hmm. and also has been
here
every night that we've had a show at night. It's been some long days for
17
Rudy.
17 to go.
And not that he's counting down to it or anything. But Rudy's had some long stretches of work days. And today I feel like you might be in that place that you get at, like, you know, think high school age sleepovers. You know where you end up at, like... Everyone's kind of drifting at like
sure.
midnight to 1, and you're like, oh man, we were going to do an all night, or we had some big plans. You were going to play video games until the sun yeah. comes up.
Modern Warfare 2 at that time.
But everybody's kind of drifting around 1, but then at like 3 or 4, you get like, you have a frozen pizza, you re-up your 2 liters of Mountain Dew Code Red, and then you hit a ramp, and then you're just electric for like the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
But you're also not quite right, like your eye's doing a thing.
So for us, it was always go to the gas station, get a Monster BFC,
yeah.
which
stands for big old can. F is silent.
That will keep you up all night, but here's the thing. That thing will make you real jittery. Like, you start feeling, like at first you're fine, but then as you work your way through the thing, at some point, you start feeling like, I feel like it honestly, like, I've never had withdrawal symptoms before. I've never felt that. I've never been addicted to something enough to where when
yeah,
I stop.
You,
but I imagine
your
it feels
heroin,
like that.
Your heroin use was very moderate.
Yeah. I imagine it feels like that.
Yeah. I'm afraid that that's the window that you're in right now, where mm-hmm. if, like, by the time Lesky's on at 9, I'm a little bit nervous about just sort of your faculties.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you might fall asleep at 9.
I'm all right with that. I can take a nap at some point.
Yeah, I would say.
Maybe. How about this? Here's the
plan. Start now.
Just anytime that Beards brings up the All-Star game.
8:30 to 8:45, Beards can just rant about the All-Star game. We'll take a nap.
Yeah, that's fun. And it usually goes pretty well whenever Beards gets the floor to talk about the NBA by
himself. Yeah, because here's the thing. He's super knowledgeable about the NBA. The guy can go for a long time just on the NBA.
Yeah.
Beards, by a long time, I mean 10 seconds.
Beards, go ahead and line up that liner a whole segment in advance, why don't you? Just so people can know what we're talking about next segment.
Oh, which one?
Can I read you a headline while he looks for this?
Oh, yeah, I don't want you to play it now, Beards.
No,
just put
know,
it just
I
put
know.
It in the archive. But yeah, go ahead, Rudy. We're going to talk about Carson Wentz in a second.
Lil Uzi Vert and Grimes plan to get Neuralink brain chips so they can have, quote, knowledge of the gods.
I mean, I would love to know more about... So Lil Uzi Vert has a $24 million diamond in his forehead at this point. Grimes is married to Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's where they get the
chips from, right? Like he's obviously designing these chips.
God, I do need to know. about Neuralink chip. It doesn't let them telepathically communicate, does it?
Here's how it started. Lil Uzi just tweeted out, Neuralink. Grimes then responded, let's get brain chips. Uzi responds, I'm ready. When we doing it? Grimes, let's aim for chips by 2022. It's experimental surgery, but if it succeeds, we'll have the knowledge of the gods. Ha ha.
So we've definitely talked about this before, which is silly. Oh, yeah. Musk told users of private app Clubhouse that Neuralink recently used its nanotechnology to implant a chip into a monkey's brain, which he claims allowed the animal to play video games using only its mind.
That's still that couple.
Yeah.
Just still doesn't make sense.
It's a weird
right?
one. Yeah,
I mean,
it's a very strange
one. Hey, good for them that they found happiness in a weird place. It's just weird.
It is absolutely weird. We've definitely talked about like biotechnology on this show. Mm-hmm. I've tried to get as close as possible just when we talked about AirPods and Apple Watches and whatnot. Brain chips is right on the edge for me. Because if it's really in there and it's really kind of, you can't just take it off because it's in your brain. That would make me a little antsy, I think. But pretty much anything else I'm here for. If I could get, all my house, car, and 810 key in my pinky finger, yeah, and I could just scan to open doors with my pinky finger or whatever, I'd be all about that.
Man, what happens when you quit, though, and they have to cut your finger off?
I mean, that's not how that works.
First of all, I'm going to work here forever.
Okay.
Second of all, I think you could probably reprogram those. You'd have to go in and get the chip reprogrammed, Beards. It's not.
I don't even think you would have to necessarily get the chip reprogrammed. I think there would honestly be like essentially a website you go to that just deactivates.
Yeah, that's
that
a great
part.
Point.
Because it would be one. It would be one chip that would just have in this one chip all this data. Like you wouldn't need three.
That's right.
You obviously wouldn't need three chips, one for each device. It'd be one chip that has like 10 uses.
Basically,
it
has a passcode in it. Yes. That you could go in and say, whenever you swipe this over, it inputs this passcode. Mm-hmm. So, like, actually, at my house, the house has, I don't have a house key. It is a number pad, which is so good.
It's
I love
very
it.
Nice.
And the code
Except
is something
time,
I'll never tell you.
Yeah, one time a roommate, not too long ago, we've had it for a year. So, I've only had this problem once.
Uh huh.
Had also locked the bottom part, and it was like, well, that's no good,
because
even though the top
out.
is unlocked,
yeah,
the bottom is locked. Fortunately, my roommate was home, so he came down and unlocked it. I was like, yeah, so we keep this part unlocked.
Yeah, that's not ideal, but as long as you don't do that, it's great. And something you could scan over it, just be like, oh yes, this is
Mr. Joshua Briscoe.
810 is the code that's in my fingertip, and so I scan over, and that's the thing that unlocks my front door. That's not the code of my front door. Please don't find my house and try it. I'd prefer you just leave that alone. Thanks
for
your
code for his front door is 0810.
It's not, and also
just go try it.
Wouldn't tell you if it was. Please don't come try it. I got a little, I have a little video doorbell now.
Ooh, true.
So, smell, you're on camera, all that good stuff. Anyway, I'm down for kind of all of those things. Eventually, if I could just, if the Apple Watch basically somehow gets, like, implanted, you're putting a screen in there and I'm feeling like Buzz Lightyear, I'm probably going to give that a shot, mm-hmm. if that technology becomes widely available at some point. But in all likelihood, it's going to be, wearable tech I'm here for. You put a little chip in a ring, that's fine.
I think at that point, though, like,
really quick, the thing that I just laid out with putting it in your finger, why don't we just put that in a ring? That makes a whole lot more sense, and you don't have to inject chips into my pinky.
It's more fun if it's in, like, it's microbiology. If it's in a ring, that's not microbiology. It's just technology.
What happens when you lose the ring?
I mean, better than losing your finger. Like, it's like kind of if Lil Uzi gets robbed, mm-hmm. and they take his $24 million ring, that sucks. But if they take his $24 million forehead diamond, that sucks a lot more.
Still $24 million out.
I'm afraid to reference Avengers because I still haven't watched any of WandaVision. I don't want to lead us down a path of spoiler territory. I don't know if I could do a chip in my brain.
If I didn't have to pay for it,
I guess it depends on what it would do, right? Because here's the thing.
I'm here for, like, to be like, because part of this is, I assume I'm also being compensated, but I'm 100% down to be like a guinea pig for something like that. Yeah. Because again, like when you talk about like the watch thing and like a screen in your arm, and so like the way I view it as,
just what happens when it breaks.
It's, there's not going to be a screen in your arm. It's just all going to be like in your eyes. Like it's just essentially going to be
put
like
chips in my eyes. I'm here for that 100%.
Well, it might be like the brain, but like it's connected. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like the brain chip can do, I would say, all of that.
It really bums me out that Google Glass didn't end up working out.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I could have ruined my life with that.
Yeah, there's something like that is. And so, like, that's kind of what I'm thinking, like, something like Google Glass. But it honestly, it might be a contact. It might essentially just be a contact.
I'm ready for that. I'll take that.
I think
easy,
that is 100%. Probably before. I feel. I'm pretty confident saying before brain chips, we'll have, like, essentially a computerized contact of some sort.
We can
that's
go back to the glasses.
Probably the next step.
We can go back to the glasses. We'll try the glasses again.
God, they just also had to be like a good style, because I feel like Google Glasses were also like
too
hideous.
Dorky.
They
just
were
real
ugly.
Yeah. Too dorky. Just get listen, Google collab with Ray-Bans and we're fine. This isn't that hard.
By the way, all you guys are doing is describing Cyberpunk so far.
Well, we want our stuff to work though.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
That's the difference.
Unlike Cyberpunk and everything that it touches.
Yeah, that's the difference, Beards.
Also, I think brain chips would still be delayed by less than that video game was.
That's what I was going to say, too. Also, when it's announced that it will come out, it will come out in that year.
In that same decade, yeah. Yeah, I think it probably will. I also do want to have customizable hands and feet.
As we all do.
Just like Cyberpunk advertised. Anyway. You know what I wish Beards had? A reset button.
Sure be nice.
I wish the show and Beards both had a hard reset button. Because this segment was going to be about Carson Wentz getting traded until Beards made a whole deal about what's his name not being an NBA All-Star Game starter. Jason Tatum.
Jaylen Brown.
Whatever.
Tatum can be on the bench. And he will be.
The Celtics bench?
And so will Jaylen Brown.
Sixth man of the year?
He'd be okay.
How does it feel, Beards, knowing that the Celtics had all those picks and it turned into absolutely nothing?
You mean it turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, trophies.
Yeah, pretty good.
Confetti.
So far, it's nothing.
Yeah, confetti coming down. Yeah, Beards, good regular season performance is what we all dream about when we're little kids.
I don't even think the Celtics.
How many
of
your teams made
it
to three
season.
Conference championships in 4 years?
Shot clock winding down. 3, 2, and he hits the shot, and they're above 500 on the season. Yeah, that's what we all do in the backyard, Beards. Rude, don't you think it's funny that whenever we talk about the Celtics, Beards is all like, what about conference final appearances?
Yeah, which is real funny.
And whenever we talk about LeBron's success, it's like, well, Jordan never lost in the finals. Yeah. I don't want to tell you.
Well, hey, in Boston, they hang banners for, you know, playoff appearances.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Boston's 14-14.
Do you guys want one of
14.
Our banners to share?
Boston's a 500.
No, it's just that since we've been alive, I think you're up by one. Remember when people were saying that they'd take Brad Stevens over LeBron James?
I was not one of those people.
I'm sure you weren't, Beards.
Nah, no chance. No, yeah, chance. Absolutely not. You would have taken him over everybody else. You'd be like, all right, asset draft. We'll take LeBron 1, current day Michael Jordan 2, Brad Stevens 3. Bill Russell 3, actually. Brad Stevens 4.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Current modern day.
Oh, but the only thing difference, he would absolutely take, though, current modern day Jordan and Bill Russell
over LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah, that's fair.
17 rings.
I mean, I literally may as well be talking about fiction. Congratulations, Beards. The Celtics won their first title during the Revolutionary War. It's super relevant. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, I want to talk about quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, draft capital, cap hits, all sorts of fun stuff. And I can tell you, with my hand to God, we will not be talking in any way whatsoever about the NBA All-Star Game.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Did you just lose the cap of a pen?
Yep. It's gone forever. This pen's useless now.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards, that's not the liner of you feeling I talk about basketball for 24 seconds. We planned this.
I know.
He forgot.
No, I had this one already ready to go, and I wanted to play it first.
And he forgot.
But whenever you play the right liner in 20 minutes, it's not going to make any sense. It's going to be 25 minutes late.
I didn't even hear the liner that currently played.
It would be like me... Okay. It'd be like me saying, all right, let's talk about the NBA All-Star game.
Stop talking.
Yes.
This is a trick to get us to do another segment of NBA talk.
No, it's not going to happen.
I mean, would you rather have Damian Lillard or Luka Doncic starting the All-Star game?
I'm not listening.
I just heard static when he said names there. Yeah. I don't even... I just heard him say Devin Booker, and my answer is Devin Booker.
If I have to choose between Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jokic, I'm going to take Michael Porter Jr.
I do. You almost got me in the NBA conversation that time because there is a threat about Michael Porter Jr.'s defense, and Rudy, you might have a problem. You might have a problem with Michael Porter Jr.'s just sort of defensive energy levels.
Lack.
It's tough.
Am I supposed to be surprised?
No, it was just jarring.
Like here's the thing. I know he's not like a good like defensive player, but that's not why he's like. That's not why he's on the team.
It is gross. I'll send you. I imagined you saw it. If not, I'll send
I have
you.
Not seen
We're
it.
Not going to talk about NBA stuff this segment, though.
I'm good.
Although I do kind of want to a little bit, just because the Michael Porter Jr. thing was just a tough look.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately don't know. I haven't been able to watch their last couple of games. I know he has struggled offensively, which like that's the problem, because like that's what he does.
Let's not play defense.
Beards, turn off your microphone. You lost microphone privileges. You derailed the openings. You derailed the opening segment of the show, and then you played the wrong liner. This one's on you.
You're really Jaylen Browning it out up here.
Don't even know who that is. Name doesn't mean anything to me. The news of the day was that Carson Wentz did ultimately get moved. He was traded today to the Indianapolis Colts. It's a 2021 third-round draft pick and a conditional 2022 second-round draft pick that could turn into a first-rounder for the Philadelphia Eagles. The player in question and the draft picks that ended up being thrown out there gave me an instant reaction that more or less amounted to kind of a, yeah, okay. Which is how I know that it's not a crazy deal one way or another. If I'm not angry at one of the sides, and I honestly feel similarly with the Matt Stafford, Jared Goff trade that I'll bring back up here in a second. At the time, my thought was, that seems like a lot, and it is a lot, but yeah, okay. I get it, I guess. The DeAndre Hopkins trade was a scream at the sky and wonder what the bleep is going on there. Whenever Deshaun Watson gets moved, it's going to be one way or another a trade that's going to spawn takes aplenty, because I'm going to make the argument ahead of time that it is probably literally impossible for Deshaun Watson to actually return his real value to the Texans if they do move him. There's just, unless Seattle is like, we're really done with Russell Wilson, and also we have three first-round draft picks for you.
Mm-hmm.
That, then, okay, fine. But if it's not literally impossible, it's functionally impossible.
The reality is, the only way you trade Deshaun Watson and feel like you dodged a bullet is if like he just suffered some career-ending injury, right? Like,
right, and that's...
And you can't predict.
Right, that's
like
on
that.
The
like,
wrong
that's,
side
that's,
of the decision.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's just... And again, even if you could like trade more than 3 years worth of picks, because I can't remember if it's 3 years worth of picks or if it's 3 years out from the current draft. It's one of the two. Point being, like, there is a limit on how far you can go out.
Yeah.
Even if there wasn't a limit, even if it was like, hey, every year that he plays, you get our first round pick. I mean, don't get me wrong, 15, like an extra first round pick in like 15 straight drafts would be great. I don't know if it's like.
The odds
I still
are
know
that it will never return you a
Deshaun
Watson.
Yeah.
The odds are that it will never return you the player that you just traded away. But specific to the Wentz trade, it seems generally fine enough. I understand it from the Colts' perspective. I'm going to tell you on both sides. I think both sides made some reasonable choices that led to this point, and then also I think both sides have done something a little bit silly. But from the Colts' perspective, I understand that because they were too good with Phillip Rivers, they're not really in the game for one of the top rookie quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And even then, are you confident that one of those guys is going to make you a starter? And you're not talking about, they're not going to have the capital to get up into the top two or three, probably three or four quarterbacks in this draft. But if you say, you know what, we think that the one of those guys up there, maybe we could go get. It's a gamble. So is Carson Wentz, of course. But this is a team that's in this very odd space where it seems like they're really convinced that this is a win-now opportunity.
Yeah.
Even though I think they have some really obvious talent deficiencies in places.
I don't know who he's throwing a football to.
That's going to come up here in a second. You didn't have to move one of your first two draft picks this year, so you can use those on a couple of pass catchers if you want. But the offensive line is good. The defense was good last year. They're going to have to make some choices again in terms of pending free agents. T.Y. Hilton's a free agent. I believe Justin Houston's a free agent this offseason.
Zach Pascal, who was their, I think their number two receiver, I believe he's a restricted free agent, but he's
I think that's right. A good number of their key defenders are hitting free agency at this point. So I'm not totally sure that they're in as good a position as they think they are.
Quentin Nelson, though.
They've got a guard. I don't want to talk about Jonathan Taylor. But whatever they believe about where they're at.
Nyheim Hines, though. He did a backflip once.
Whatever they believe about where they're at some point, I think that it's the most important thing in the sport to be reasonable about your standing in a certain season. And in some ways, I'm done fighting teams over the radio of trying to convince them that they're not nearly as good as they think they are.
I'm not. You never should have drafted Jonathan Taylor first round because you have Nyheim Hines. Another fact that, like, hey, teams, stop drafting running backs in the first round.
You could have more talent in more important positions if you would have used that draft pick. I believe it was an early second, right? On Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, yeah,
Taylor.
Actually, you might be right about that.
It definitely wasn't a first-round draft pick because only one team took a running back in the first round. And they made the Super Bowl. It was clearly a good pick. But if you don't draft running backs highly, you can use those positions on more valuable. You can use those picks on more valuable positions that benefit your long.
You're 100% right.
High second rounder.
Yes, 41. So the ninth pick.
So, whatever the Colts believe, I'm not gonna get to argue with Chris Ballard about it or whatever, and that's fine. The best argument they probably have is Frank Reich's gonna make Carson Wentz look good again. And if that happens, this trade will probably be worth it. The thing that I think the Colts end up in a strange spot on is partially because of I don't think they have true clarity about where their team is at right now. But they were pretty good with Phillip Rivers last year, and they're in a division that has a ton of question marks. The Jags are a disaster that are about to get their quarterback. The Texans are a disaster who are about to lose their quarterback. And I think the Titans are probably going to continue regressing by some small steps until eventually they crater. So at the very least, the Colts rightfully consider themselves to be a division contender. They are. That's mm-hmm. true. But even if you get Carson Wentz to perform like Carson Wentz, you're paying him much like the Eagles believed Carson Wentz would be worth that value over the next couple of years. This is where I think this deal is at its most interesting. This is from CBS Sports. Philadelphia will take on $33.8 million in dead cap space by trading Wentz, the largest single dead cap hit in NFL history per spot track. That shatters the previous record set by the Los Angeles Rams, who will take on $22.2 million by trading Jared Goff to the Detroit Lions. From Eagles Wire, the Colts will assume the balance of Wentz's $128 million contract extension, including the $10 million guaranteed roster bonus due March 19th. Wentz has a cap hit of $25.4 million for the Colts in 2021 following the trade. Even with Wentz on their roster, the Colts project to have around $50 million in cap space in 2021. His cap number across those final 3 years for the Colts would be $31, $34, and $32 million. Did Siri hear me say something interesting?
Yeah, she's wondering what would you like her to convert $32 million to?
My bank account. To Joshua Briscoe.
She said no.
Okay.
She sent it to a Joshua Briscoe with a knee.
Dang it! All this time you had $32 million just ready to move,
just
and
ready
it went to,
go. To
the wrong Briscoe.
Just
damn.
Ready to go.
So frustrating.
Happens all the time.
The thing about this that doesn't really make sense from the Colts' perspective, other than what do they actually believe where they're at right now, is they're paying Carson Wentz. Like, again, the Eagles wanted to pay Carson Wentz a couple of years ago and he signed this extension. That Carson Wentz doesn't seem to exist anymore, and I'm not really sure if that Carson Wentz ever existed.
Wasn't he, like, second in MVP voting one year?
He was, and then since then he's had injury issues, and last year he was a garbage fire.
The year that he was second in MVP, he got hurt, and since then he has not really been
They went on one the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah.
Without him.
And here's the other thing. Like,
he also had one of the best offensive lines in maybe NFL history that season.
That was in 2017, and man, 3 years is a lot. Like, once 3 years go by in the NFL, that's a lot of time. To sit here and think that any player is going to be the player they were 3 years ago, man, a lot can happen in 3 years. I mean, a lot can happen in 1 year in the NFL. Like, it has been by NFL standards forever since Carson Wentz was playing at an extremely high level.
Well, and here's the other thing about that. We're talking about 3 years ago. I feel extremely confident in saying that was Carson Wentz at his ceiling. How often do you see someone hit their ceiling, bottom out, and then not rebound, but get back to their ceiling or exceed it, which is honestly what the Eagles were paying him to do? Mm-hmm. The Eagles were paying Carson Wentz not just because he hit his ceiling that year, but because they believed he was going to continue to get better and to be able to still be at that ceiling with less support around him because he was going to take up some of that cap space. That offensive line was going to continue to get older, weaker, less expensive because you're worrying about paying your quarterback. He never had a whole lot of weapons around him in fairness, but that offensive line was truly excellent. You are seeing that price tag still attached to him, where even if the Colts get him back to his absolute ceiling, which is so very difficult and for me is just about impossible to predict that to happen. I think that's largely unreasonable. Even if that return to form happens and the Colts have the offensive line to try to replicate a lot of those circumstances, it's paying him to be that and then maybe more beyond it. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see the path to that end result being very plausible at all. And they didn't have to pay in draft capital what you would expect from a quarterback who's going to hit that range. Yeah. But they did pay they are going to be paying in dollars and in cap hits what you expect from a quarterback performing at that level. And I just wonder why they believe that he's going to get back to that place.
The one thing I do see on Spotrac, and maybe this is the where you feel comfortable taking the risk at mm-hmm. the very least for 1 year, is that after this year, the last 3 years of that deal he has a $0 dead cap.
Right, they can move
the last
on
3 years.
From...
So if they want to if they feel like if he's just atrocious, my guess is though you're not trading a second and third or a third and then a second
well, so
maybe first round pick for 1 year.
Right. Well, this is the issue. It's also something some people brought up on Twitter where that second goes to a first based on number of snaps played.
Yeah. It's unless he gets hurt, it's a first round pick.
Well, but or. If they're 10 games in and he's terrible, you may as well play whatever quarterback you draft in the fifth round those last few games to save your first round pick. But at that point, you are essentially washing out your second and third round picks that you traded, this grand experiment. You are ending that experiment after 10 weeks, which I imagine probably isn't going to happen because they're probably going to be in contention for that division. And you can look at the fact that they can get out from that money after this season. But you are immediately admitting that those draft picks just turned into mm-hmm. absolute vapor right in front of your eyes by a choice that you made.
It feels like you, without a doubt, Carson Wentz is going to get 2 years in Indy unless something crazy happens. And it very well may be three, but it feels like it's going to be a 2 year experiment at the minimum.
You've got to be willing at this point, if you're the Colts in this situation, you've got to be willing to stick with Wentz for at least that length of time mm-hmm. to justify these draft picks. But if he comes in and he stinks,
he's really
what was the point of trading for a veteran in the first place when you could draft someone and you could know that your cap hit was going to that number was going to be very team friendly for 4 or 5 years, depending on where you draft them. And you can try to build around that guy. And then if he's not great at through your first 10 games, you also have the logic of, well, this is also our long-term investment. I saw some tweet say in the Colts hope they finally have their long-term answer at quarterback or their quarterback of the future. Phillip Rivers was a one-year deal, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the idea that Carson Wentz is going to be a Colt in 5 years, I just think it seems almost impossible.
And honestly, I think this is the move I would have done, and part of this is because of who this other guy was playing under that I still have some hope in him. Sam Darnold seems like still seems like the smarter choice there. If you were going to go trade for somebody to get that younger quarterback on a rookie deal who's approaching free agency that you don't have to spend a lot of money on right now, but if he turns out to be good, you can, but you're not necessarily forced to just ride him.
What, forced to what?
Just like that's the player that you're riding on. Like that's your guy.
And that's one way to put it.
I mean, it's an extremely common phrase.
Mm.
I've literally heard it like on a week. Tony Romo said on a weekly basis about Patrick Mahomes.
What did he say about Patrick Mahomes?
The Chiefs ride Patrick Mahomes.
I think there was something special about the flavor you put on your first pass at that phrase. I just think that
it very, very well might be possible. I'm just saying the phrase
well,
is
listen,
not
the opposing
like
fans also think Tony Romo does a lot more to Patrick Mahomes. So.
That's also a great point.
They absolutely do think that.
The issue with like a Sam Darnold argument, and again, I think that like the idea of, hey, can we give you a fifth round pick for Sam Darnold and you guys can start over and we're going to see if we can rehabilitate Sam Darnold, is it's much more similar to like the Josh Rosen fizzled out failed experiment where I think you can bring him in and say, we'll let you compete with the rookie that we drafted, we'll let you compete with some other veteran or whatever. Where I think the argument, I would rather trade a mid round pick for Sam Darnold still on his rookie deal than for Carson Wentz on this one with what the Colts had to give up. But you're still probably not considering that to be the answer. The Colts seem to think that Carson Wentz is going to be their quarterback
at least
for a couple of years, which I do think is probably ill-advised.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I still think that Sam Darnold, and part of this, again, might just simply be because of the coach he played. Not part of it. It's 100% because of just the coach he played under. I'm not sold that Sam Darnold's not actually good. I'm not sold that Sam Darnold actually is a Josh Rosen type because I've just watched Ryan Tannehill go from being a complete dud to like an actual legitimate top 10 quarterback in mm-hmm. the NFL just by getting away from Adam Gase. Now, he has weapons in Tennessee also that, you know, he obviously never had in Miami. The Colts do not have that. But I think Adam Gase is really bad. I think there might be something there in Sam Darnold. And I personally, if I'm looking at this as a 1 or 2 year deal, regardless, right, as a 1 year, 2 year trial, which I believe you. I understand what you're saying. The Colts 100% thinks Carson Wentz is the guy of the future.
They have to, otherwise they're way overpaid.
But what I'm saying is that it's obviously he is there for at least 2 years, obviously, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm just viewing it as like Carson Wentz is 2 years to show the Colts he's right. Sam Darnold would essentially be the same thing. He would have a year or two to show the Colts that they are right.
I think that again, I would also rather. Mm-hmm. I would also rather take the lower risk gamble on seeing what Sam Darnold has left in the tank.
Colts, though, 100%.
But that's not the logic the Colts are putting into place 100%. Here. It's much more the logic that the Rams put into place with trading for Matt Stafford.
The Colts believe that he will be 2017 pre-injury Carson Wentz.
And that he's going to change what their ceiling is. And again, I don't know if that logic makes any sense at this point. I don't know. You're talking about Wentz as a reclamation project in the same vein as Sam Darnold. The Colts see him as being much more likely to hit the ceiling that we've seen. And in fairness, with Darnold, we never saw the ceiling. We just have his, you know, pre-draft scouting reports. Mm. And I don't know that that's going to, that logic is going to hold for the Colts and Wentz. I don't hate the fit. I don't hate the logic of it, but they're both in draft compensation and in salary, unless they bail on salary so early that the draft compensation gets embarrassingly high as a cost, that eventually one of those things is going to bite them, unless you think he's going to be 2017 mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, which I just don't think is reasonable.
Yeah, which they do clearly think he is. I think it's, again, I don't... You see this happen quite frequently in the NFL. I don't know why, though, any team, especially, you would think people who work in the NFL would understand this better, the fact that, you know, the average NFL career is under 3 years. 3 years is a long time in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years since Carson Wentz has been MVP, you know, candidate.
Anything
Carson Wentz.
Close to that. It's been three years since he's been anywhere, and there has not been a blip where you say maybe that's the Carson Wentz that we saw back in 2017. Let's take a break. Whenever we come back, we'll see what Liner Beards plays.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
He can break every bone in his body, and I'll be happy as long as it's not the back.
Cut that, Beards. Cut him saying Michael Porter Jr. could break every bone in his body and he'd be happy, and then just don't include the last part.
But the context.
Oh, context, please. Yeah.
With Joshua Briscoe.
He could break every bone in his body and I'll be happy.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Beards, did you misplace the liner of you trying to talk about basketball for 24 seconds?
No, I've still got it open.
Okay. So you're going to wait more than an hour to play the liner that was relevant 7 minutes into the show.
Yes.
I mean, that's a choice. That is a production choice that you've made.
I'm sticking by it.
Somebody needs another vacation.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't you go to New York again? See what disease you bring back with you this time. Super spreader. Super spreader, Breeds McFly. That's sort of a deep cut. Beards went to New York and then came back engaged, which was never fully, I've not fully let go. And because he didn't tell any of us. We found out, he didn't even text us after the fact. Lebo saw it on Facebook, and then Lebo told me and Rudy. But then Beards came back just sort of as COVID was sort of really hitting the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Beards is patient zero, maybe for all of America, actually, which doesn't really make sense with the timeline, but I'm running with it.
Makes perfect sense.
He's patient zero, which is also the number of Boston Celtics starting in the All-Star game. Ben Baldwin, I almost called him Bill Barnwell. You did that earlier.
I did.
I just almost said it just now.
Double B's.
Ben Baldwin tweeted out a poll question earlier in regards to the Carson Wentz trade. So what would you rather have? Carson Wentz or Jameis Winston, $20 million in cap space, a third-round pick, and a second-round pick.
Jameis Winston.
That could be a first-round pick. That goes back into the conversation. You want to talk about guys that, like, if you're trying to find a veteran to plug a hole, Jameis, you could trade for Sam Darnold.
Heck yeah.
Whatever. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Give me Jameis all day. Oh, Fitzmagic.
Give me Fitzmagic
or Jameis all day.
Would have been a blast. But the Colts think that Carson Wentz is going to be the answer. It's not this outrageous draft capital risk.
No.
And that cap number gets kind of gross kind of fast. But I also can't imagine it leading to any substantive success for them.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.